talking about our spiritual immune system. If there's anything, honestly, that I think we're keenly aware of in the day that we're living right now, of course, is how there are these diseases or these pandemics. Of course, we know, what's taking place with the coronavirus and the COVID-19 or whatever that it's called now. And we need to be in prayer for those that are affected. We need to be in prayer for those that are, of course, in the United States. Just the other day, where Victoria, we were able to drive her back. She's now at her job, and we're excited about that. She started on this past week on Wednesday, and so even today she has to work. So I guess by this point she's worked close to 5 days this week in her new job. God's good. Amen. There in Buckhead, she's back here in Atlanta. It's a good thing. We went out and drove out and saw her as she's living now and staying for the short little bit with my mother-in-law. But that wasn't all the way out in Denver. It was just kind of outside of Winder where we drove to, and it's so good to have that opportunity. But she said she's going to be seeing the CEO of the company, and the CEO right now is in Hong Kong, where his father had just passed away. And so just like that, I mean, honestly, and I wasn't being funny or anything, I really just said, Lord, in Jesus' name, protect Victoria. Because we know that's kind of the region or the area where much of this coronavirus has started and now has went from there to other points and places all over the world. Now, I'm believing like you, Psalm 91, which talks about that it'll not come near or nigh our dwelling. Amen. Look at somebody say, you're going to be okay in Jesus' name. Tell somebody that, right? But yet, even though this has happened, the Lord already put in my heart to talk about spiritual immune system and what it means for you and I to be strong. And today I'm going to talk about some things that we need to really lean into. The food, the water, the exercise, the rest, and then the pure conscience. These five things that we know really truly make sense in our natural body, but really it's a way to speak of the spiritual things that we need to be taking in, which allows us to repel those things that want to overtake us, invade our heart, invade our mind, and in some way keep us weak and not living the abundant life, the bold, strength-filled life that God says is ours from glory to glory, faith to faith, strength to strength, moving forward, knowing that if God's for us, who can be against us? Nothing that comes against us can overwhelm us because the God that is in us is bigger and greater than the enemy outside of us. Come on, can I get an amen today? Amen. Your immune system, let me just give you a quick definition. In the natural is this. It is your body's defense system against invaders. Germs that will want to invade and begin to weaken your body. Your immune system works together to not only prepare a defense against the invaders, but it coordinates key body parts to organize and deploy an attack against the invading germs. Now, that is what God created in you. God created you and I with this defense system to fend off those things that want to come in and cause harm. How many know God is an amazing God in the way that he put you and I together by his design? If you believe that, can you say amen? See, you and I we're going to face, not only spiritually, but even in the natural, listen, you're going to face germ warfare. You're going to face certain things that if you're not washing your hands as much as you should, then you're possibly going to catch some things that you would not want to catch. We hit those times and points in the seasons where it's cold and flu season, where we're a little bit more vulnerable. Now for me, and I don't need to knock on wood, I don't need to hope it don't happen or anything like that. I think a couple of things have kept me from it. I didn't get a flu shot this year, even though maybe if you do that, that's good for you. I don't like shots. Amen. So long story short, I didn't get one. But yet every day, what do I do? Every day, now this is a natural defense. Every day I have what is 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. It says daily immune. Hear that. Daily immune support. Now, I haven't taken this today because I wanted to actually just right in front of you show you what I do in the natural. Every day. Look at somebody say every day. Amen. Look at somebody on the other side, every day, right? Amen. However you say it, every day or every day, it doesn't matter. Every day I'm pouring 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C, which it says on the front, tangerine flavored, daily immune support. So in the natural, this is what I do. I think that has helped me ward off because I'm shaking a whole lot of hands, meeting a whole lot of people, praying and being around a whole lot of folks. And so I'm more vulnerable. I'm not somewhere sequestered, somewhere away from everybody. I'm out there in the world just like you are. But in the natural, I understand because I've had enough folks in our church that when I've all of a sudden sound a little croupy or seem a little maybe sick and they're like, Pastor, are you okay? And I said, yeah. I started taking vitamin C. Well, if they're health professionals, they've been quick to tell me, well, if you already feel sick, it's too late. Keep on taking it. but you're too late, but it's good to start. You ever had somebody say that to you? Now you start doing the right things after it's already got a hold, and it's a good thought, but maybe a little too late. But here we go. Let's see if I can do it all. I only got about half of it right here, but we'll take it all the way down. Now, next service in Grayson, I'm going to take my Juice Plus pills because I take those as well. See, my regimen is vitamin C, 4 Juice Plus pills, sometimes 6, and then I take it a packet of Metamucil. What, there's a problem with that? It keeps everything rolling, amen. That is my 1, 2, 3 in the natural of how to prepare myself to bolster my immune system so that I'm able. Now, I'm still vulnerable. I'm still susceptible. But if I will do these things in the natural to try to keep myself up, and I try to eat right, and I also exercise and try to do some things like that, but yet I know I'm in this world and I'm vulnerable. If I'm trying to keep my immune system strong, then spiritually speaking, also, we need to be aware today that God has given us a spiritual immune system, knowing that you and I are going to face spiritual germ warfare. Invaders that want to get into your mind. I mean, think of it, the example of how a shepherd would work with the sheep. One of the most vital things that a shepherd would do is as he would apply the oil upon the sheep to not only work with the wool, but then as well to rub that on the nose and the ear, but ultimately that was not only to keep it healthy, but to protect it from insects that would work their way, burrow their way into the brain of that animal and cause that animal to lose not only direction, but really in some way go insane. See, the enemy today wants through fear and torment, trouble and trial, and God does not say that we'll not have trouble nor trial. I'm not here to celebrate that, but I am here to celebrate that the Word of God says in James chapter 1, when you and I fall into various trials, count it all joy, because through the trial, not because of the trial, but through the trial, it will create maturity in your walk with God so that you are more like Him and less like yourself. If you hear that today, come on, somebody make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But the insect of fear and torment and trial and trouble and the everyday cares of life will try to burrow its way into your brain, which will also infect your heart and cause you to be vulnerable and overwhelmed by your circumstances. Now, the Bible makes it clear that God knows our load limit will not put any more on us than we can bear. But unless we are what prepared in our immune system, then really we are greatly and, should I say, very much so vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The word says there in verse 8. Let's just read there, or verse 7. I'll begin there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we are these, or it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we're going to be in situations where we, you and I, being earthen jars, vessels, that we're going to feel overwhelmed, a little less prepared than maybe we should, kind of out of our element in many ways, so that it's not our excellency, it's not our ability, but we are truly leaning on the hand of our mighty God. And then in the midst of that, Paul goes on to say, for we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but yet not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. On down now to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, the outward man, I just strengthened, hey, look at me, the outward man with my tangerine flavor, daily immune support. Come on, can I get an amen? And I encourage you, go to Walgreens or CVS or wherever you go and get this and get it in your body on a daily basis. Just like milk, it'll do your body good. Come on, somebody. Right. Amen. But if I know that my outward man, look at me, listen, is diminishing, Paul says here, even though there are perplexing, overwhelming, crushing moments, being struck down and being destroyed in many ways, but yet the spiritual man can continue to grow. Let me see, read that to you once again. Verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man, this flesh suit, is being diminished, yet the inward man is being renewed day by, everybody say day by day. See, that's why you and I, now hear this today, in the day that we live, we need true, authentic, on fire, blood-bought, born-again believers. Come on, can I get an amen? Not the walking dead, walking out of these buildings with having just enough on Sunday morning to barely make it in maybe Wednesday night or next Sunday. No, bold men and women of God who realize that the outward man will be affected. We're going to deal with stuff, but the inward man is being strengthened. Greater is he, help me somebody, that is in us than what? Than he that is... That's right. Day by day, we need our immune system strengthened so that we are able to really be an example of Christ in the world that we live. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen to God's people? Because, look and listen, hear this today. Don't be caught off guard. We live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve made the mistake, and because of that, every one of us was born into sin, and every one of us has a moment in our life, unless the Lord comes back first, that we will then see death. There's no way we're going to escape that ultimate final act in where there will be death that somehow will come to us unless there is a rapture first. And I'm praying every day, not just because I don't want to see death, but because I want to see Jesus. Amen. I'm praying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're living in the last day. Come on, somebody help me if you believe that, right? But if the Lord delays and I'm latter in my life, then there is a time that's been appointed for me to die, then I need to realize that is a part of what's going on. And this world is not it. I'm only here for a bit, and then there's an eternity with Jesus. Why do bad things happen and good things happen to good people or God's people? It's because this world is fallen, separated from God because of sin that Adam and Eve caused. Now through Jesus, you and I have the reconciliation with our God. Amen. Confessing with our mouth, believing in our heart, then we're reconciled to God. Come on, somebody. Amen. But you need to realize right here the reason why bad things will happen and continue at times to happen. Look at somebody and say, because this ain't it. Tell somebody, this ain't it. This isn't heaven. We should not somehow think that it will be heaven-like. It is a fallen earth, but it has godly men and women that love God and are reconciled and connected to God. And that's why we are ambassadors of a kingdom we've not yet seen, of a God that we've felt and experienced and that we worship, but we have not yet seen, a Jesus that died for us that we have received, but one day we'll see him face to face. Amen. But just to remind you, the reason why awful things happen and that why we need to have not only to do all that we can do to outwardly be strong, but more importantly, be inwardly strong, is because this is not it. It is a fallen earth that we're living in. And so you're aware, just like I'm aware, that there are these outside invaders that want to torment and cause trouble and trial to overwhelm. But in Jesus' name, we might be, as the word says, hard pressed, but you're not going to be crushed. Come on, can I get an amen? There will be perplexing moments, but you will not despair. There'll be persecution, but you will not forsake. You will be struck down at times, but not ultimately destroyed. Therefore, you and I will not lose heart, even though the outward man is somehow being whittled away, because the inward man, the God inside of us, will always, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. And the Bible goes on to say, even there in verse 18, for things which are seen are temporary. All this, all I see of you is temporary. But it goes on to say, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The real you is on the inside of you. And the real you, the most important you, must be bolstered in strength. And how we build our spiritual immune system is something that God's word is very clear about today. Now, I want to talk to you about food. I want to talk to you about water. I want to talk to you about exercise and rest and then pure thoughts. Number one, to bolster your spiritual immune system. And let me just give you a couple quick ideas before I talk about what the food or nourishment should be. If you and I invest, look at somebody say invest. Come on, smile, look at somebody, say invest. If you and I invest in our spiritual immune system, and you and I won't allow fear to overwhelm us. By investing in the immune system, it'll allow you and I to not live a fear, doubt-filled life, worried about what's around the corner, but we'll live boldly knowing that God is strong in us. That our spiritual immune system will give you and I the victory to stand in the midst of things that our natural body could never, ever stand against. So, food. What is, I know food in the natural is, I need to eat healthy, you know, lean and green. That's the kind of thought and idea. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for my outward man to do these things. Paul talked about working out, and these things are profit the outward little, but much more is gained by investing on the eternal or the inside, the spirit person. First and foremost, to nourish yourself in what? The Word of God is spirit food that you and I must rely on. If you only hear God's word read on Sunday morning and you see it on big screens behind you, then you are malnourished today in your spiritual walk. If you're only hearing it in a podcast on your way to work or home from work, then you are malnourished. If somehow it's something you wait for someone else to feed you, then I'm not trying to be mean today, but I'm trying to be real and honest. Then it's almost as a baby being fed with food. You need to learn how to eat on your own, somebody. Come on, can I get an amen? You need to learn how to self-feed. It's good to get things from others, but it's good to get in it on your own and get the meat and the milk of God's word into your spirit so you are well-nourished, well-fed, so you are able to what? Stand strong during the midst of troubles and trials. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you got to eat right. Tell somebody you got to eat right. If Jesus is our example, let's say today that Jesus is the example, right? If Jesus is our example, the life of Jesus shows us through the Word of God that he listened all through his life to the voice of his Father. I want you to turn, if you have it with me, you guys can help me find it possibly in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, I think this should be right. John 8, I think verse 28. Here's what the Word says there. It says, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am he and that I do nothing, hear this, of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that pleases him. Jesus is speaking right there of how his life was directed, how his life was led, how he was always listening to his Father and to follow his Father's command. His entire life was what? Following the will and the word of his Father. Verse 42 goes on and even says it in that same chapter, John chapter 8, verse 42. The Word of God says there, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. He's saying to you and I that ultimately God's word, God's directive, God's plan was what? The will of God was what directed his life. When troubles come, you and I must have God's word alive in our life. His promises, those are the things that keep you and I from being infected by doubt and fear. Where can you find God's promises? By catching me in the lobby or Pastor Avery in the lobby and asking us what we think? By somehow being connected to other believers? Sure, we can talk about it. We can speak on it. But there is one place that all of us can go to gather the promises of God, and it is right here in the Word of God. Come on, somebody, can I get an amen today? And you know what? You can get one for yourself. And there's no way that you say, well, I don't have my Bible with me, because every one of you, like I, have a smartphone that more than not is really dumb. Amen. But there are some things in your smartphone that are really effective and are great in the last day that we're living, where that you can at any moment access the Word of God through Bible apps and be right there to receive God's Word on a daily basis with the Bible there with you or your smartphone with a Bible app to have the Word alive in you. The only place to find the promises of God is in God's word. And you and I all need daily doses of God's word so that we are not malnourished, but so that we are fed well, so we are ready to fight the good fight. Come on, if you believe that, can you give our God? Come on, give your God a mighty hand clap. Smile at somebody and say, feed on God's word. Tell somebody, feed on his word. You show me somebody, hear me, show me somebody who's lost their hope, and I will show you someone who is not reading the scriptures like they should. Oh, yeah. If you, because I know, just like I'm sure some of you have found, times when things seemed hopeless. But going to God's word is on time, and it will what? Give you what you need to hold on, or to somehow get through, or to stand strong and to declare, I know the word of God, and God's word says that if God's for me, who can be against me? The word of God says that you can declare, so call something what it should be, even though it isn't right now. That you can speak into existence the very thing that God has put in your belly according to his word. See, when you're talking about God's word, you're not talking about your will, your desire, your wants, your thoughts. The word says we ask often and we ask and we miss. But when we're declaring God's word, well nourished in God's word, well fed with God's word, then God's word will not return void. Hey, come on somebody. Somebody give God praise today. Too many folks walking around. We want a lot of things, so we pray our opinions, or we pray our feelings, or we pray our wants. And we're not going to get what we need when we start lining up with God's word. Maybe your prayer just needs to be what James said in the book of James. At the end of everything that we say, if it be the will of the Lord, then let it be. Amen. Come on, let's practice that. Can you say that with me? If it be the will of the Lord, then let it be. Come on, say it again. If it be the will of our God, let it be. Come on, look at somebody and say, if it be God's will, then okay. But now look back and add this little amendment or addendum to it. Say, but if it's not God's will, you don't want it. Tell somebody, if it's not God's will, you don't want it. James didn't go on to say that, but he's alluding to the fact that if we pray God's will, then we get what we want when we need it. And it is something that God has given and the world cannot take it away. But if we pray what we want and we get what we want, then we only got what we want. And sometimes you find out it's not what you want. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Reading God's word will make boisterous your faith, and it will renew your hope today. How is it that Jesus was able? You might know the story where Jesus was walking down the road, or come on the piano if you will, Ronaldo. The Bible talks about how there were two disciples that had left the crucifixion. They were on the Emmaus Road. Some of you might know the story. They're found in Luke 24. See, it's not something we just heard someone talk about. It's found in the word. It talks about people that thought Jesus was going to be the one that was going to do things a certain way. But just as God's word speaks of himself, because when you know the word, you have the wisdom you need. He'll remind you of what his word says. And he says his ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are deeper than ours. But even though we don't always know what's going on, we know a God who's always in control. Amen. And the word says that daily he provides mercy for you and I. Bible said two men were walking on the road after the crucifixion, and they were confused by what had happened, and they were depressed because they had seen Christ crucified. They thought he was going to do certain things. They believed him to be the Son of God, and yet they saw him die and be put into a tomb. Now, this is prior to Sunday, prior to resurrection. But the Bible tells us how that in Luke 24, that Jesus met them on the road. They didn't know it. They didn't recognize him. How many know the story I'm speaking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And as they were walking on the road, what did Jesus do? Jesus began to speak to them and then slowly began to restore their hope. How? By revealing that he was alive. Look at somebody say no. Tell somebody no. Mm-mm. The revelation didn't come till after he had spoke to them out of the word of God. And he took them from the Old Testament all the way up to the events they had just experienced and showed them through all of the Old Testament how it was leading to the very point where Christ would be crucified and that it was ultimately God's plan. Hope was restored because Jesus restored their hope through the scriptures. And then when they broke bread, they saw that it was him. And then just like that, they were so excited and so just full of hope and strength because the word had come alive and the word was sitting in front of them and was alive. See, you and I need to realize today for our immune system to first be strong. And obviously, I'm not going to get to all the water and the exercise until next week. But when it comes down to it, if we don't have the word operating in our life, then we're going to have we're not going to have what we must have to make it in the world that we're in today. Romans 10 and 17 says this: faith comes by hearing the word of God. Amen. when we have the Word of God alive in us, hearing it preached, and you should, podcast, and being in church, and the singing and worshiping. These are all things that help build our faith, but nothing's more powerful and more important than you having your daily dose of God's Word to nourish your life. And either it be through some type of Bible app where you're daily reading the scriptures and you have a reading plan, or like me, you like to also get back in the good old book, amen, and read it and mark it up and write in it and date it and talk about when God showed up and spoke to you in a way like he never had before. Or where you read a scripture you read maybe 100 times and now you read it on this time and something jumps off the page, because the word not only is something that is the Logos word, but also it is alive, amen, and it is present, and it will come alive right there in a rhema word to your heart. Come on, you ever had it happen where the Word of God, you've read it, you've heard it, and then all of a sudden you read it again and it hits you right there in your heart? Why? Because it's alive and it jumps off and it hits right here in your heart, and where you thought you'd seen it, then God says, no, you've not seen it yet. Let me take you a little bit deeper into what will feed you, nourish you, and build up your inner man. Even though the outward man is diminishing, the inward man is being made strong. Come on, church. Can somebody give your God, come on, somebody give your God praise today. Romans 15 and 4 says, Scripture teaches us and Scripture gives us hope. Hope. Another way as well that food, put the word food back up if you would. The way the word becomes food to you and I is not only by being in it, but you know a powerful way to have the word alive in you is to memorize it. You say, no, Pastor, is this Sunday school or is this church service? No, this is just real life ablements. How do we leave here and live Jesus? By being all preached up and then send you out ill-prepared? No. By just having church and feeling good about what you did for the Lord today? No. By making sure that we're receiving information and letting it drop 18 inches from our brain into our heart and say, God, I don't want to just be someone that attends church and feels like I'm okay, and then when trials come, I cave and crumble just like this bottle did under the pressure of my grip. The world is going to crush you, but if you have the Word of God alive in you, the Bible says, greater is he that's in there. That declared word. When Jesus was confronted by Satan in the wilderness, in what? My Bible tells me, Matthew chapter 4. He had fasted 40 days and was greatly hungry. His outward man was weak and vulnerable and famished and was susceptible. But when the enemy came against him, the Word of God tells us, Matthew chapter 4, look at somebody and say, it's in the Word. Tell somebody, it's in the Word. Tells us that Jesus did not just speak or give his thought or idea, but he went right to the book of Exodus or Deuteronomy and quoted 3 times. And at the end of each time he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, he said, it is written. And he directed it at the enemy, and the enemy had to run and flee. If Jesus, when he was vulnerable after 40 days of fasting, he had nothing to nourish his natural body, but yet he was full of God's word. When the enemy rushed in like a flood, the Word of God became a standard where he declared God's word against the enemy, and the enemy had to run. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you can scream it at the top of your lungs or it's as silent as a whisper, the Word of God will not return void. It doesn't matter if you're able to say it or all you can do is think it. God receives it. And the Word of God will come against the enemy, and the enemy has to flee in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody give him praise. Come on, somebody make a joyful noise unto God. Find this with me, if you would, Kim. Psalm 1, verse 2. So Scripture memorized. The more we incorporate Scripture into our hearts and minds, the more, hear this, we think like God. The reason why, just before you look at me, look. The reason why we all, and I'm not just pointing at you, I got 3 of my fingers pointed back at me, we get out and think wrong and do, because we're not thinking right. We're thinking like, I'm thinking like Tony, when I need to have the Word of God alive, so I'm thinking like God. The reason why I see more problems at times than I do promises, because I'm thinking like myself and seeing things in a weakened place when I need to think like God thinks, and know that this is only an opportunity for God to do big and amazing things. Here's what the Word of God says, but his delight, that's your and my delight, is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. When you and I meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, when we have it alive in us. What does that mean? Always know, but we're in it enough that when we need to draw from it, we're able to draw from it. God will make it come alive in your heart. He'll put living word right there in your mouth, and then you'll be able to declare the works and the power of God. Let me just give a quick testimony. How many of you, your testimony, that you didn't know what to do and you were in a tough situation, and out of nowhere, you didn't think it, but your spirit brought it up to you, a scripture right there in your memory that you and you were in your situation. You might not have been able to quote it. You might all the way. You might not have been able to tell you where to find it, but you knew somewhere in God's word that it said this and that, and you began to speak that right in your situation. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You didn't have to have someone tell you. The Holy Spirit caused that to come back up in your spirit so you could begin to what? Not talk fear, not talk worry, not talk dread, not talk your lack or what doesn't work in you, but to declare God's word. Because when you're well nourished and well fed, you're ready for any battle the enemy brings. Amen. So there's a lot of things we're going to talk about, and I'll have one more week in speaking on this. And I promise, I'm making a pledge before God today. I promise I'll get through this. But you need to realize and understand that probably more than any other sermon preached this year, this is vital for you and I to be bold and strong and real powerful men and women of God, not just here, but outside of these four walls, so that we're able to not just be a whole lot of smoke, but not really anything that's of substance. Lord, let us be mighty in God. Amen. So I want to ask you, Dave, heads bowed, eyes closed. Who would say fear and doubt overwhelms, and oftentimes you're not in the word like you need to be. You don't have the word operating in you like you need to be. You feel malnourished today. That's you today. Would you raise your hand in this house? Just raise your hand. Just raise. Yes, 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 yes. Raise that other hand up just if you would. Father, I pray today that they realize they're not here by mistake. Lord, you brought them here today to let them know you love them, you care about them. Your word even tells us you know the number of hair on their head. You know their name. Lord, their name is etched in the palm of your hand. So, Lord, you're trying to take your men and women, your sons and your daughters, and raise them up to be mighty men and women on the earth. Hear this. I believe the Holy Spirit says to stop thinking the way you think, but begin to get the word alive in you so you can think the way I think, see as I see. So with faith, not with fear nor doubt, not with limitation, but being unlimited in what can take place. Father, I thank you today for your on-time rhema word. And Father, I pray from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, Lord, that we began to just really be made strong internally, not just trying to be strong outwardly, but inwardly strengthened. Would you say this with me all over this church? Come on, say it. Say, Lord Jesus, come on, we love you today, Lord. Help us to learn, Father. Your word says, come on, somebody, help me. Your word says, come on, somebody, hear it. Your word says that we're destroyed for lack of knowledge, not being prepared. Not having enough of what makes a difference. So today, Lord, let our spiritual ear be open and our heart receptive, that we know greater is he that is in us, our spiritual immune system strong, than the invaders, the fear, the doubt, the worry, the spiritual diseases that want to torment and harm and weaken us in our faith. Come on, with every hand now, everybody, all over this house, every hand raised. Father, come on, say it. Father, we love you today. Make us strong in you. We give you praise today. The enemy wants to steal and to kill and leave us destroyed. But you've come, Jesus, to show us the way. Come on, life and life more abundantly. And we receive that. We walk in that. We believe in that. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Come on, everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. Give your God praise. Amen. I want you to look at two people. Come on, look at two people and say, you just got your spiritual vitamin C. Tell somebody, you just got your spiritual vitamin C. Look at somebody again, looked at you and say, you're more better now than you walked in. Tell somebody, you're better now than when you walked in.